was going to come out of the book of Isaiah, the 9th chapter. Isaiah, the 9th chapter, starting in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Say with me, and the zeal,
and the zeal
of the Lord of hosts,
shall perform it.
Did you know that God wants some things more than you want them? The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Now, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 1st chapter. We're going to start reading this morning in the 1st chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake, that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Say that with me. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places. And ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance this morning. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to us this morning on the word incarnation. Incarnation. Webster describes it sort of like this. That's the joining of divinity with humanity. The joining of divinity with humanity. I was just talking with somebody this week, and I hadn't seen him in a while, and I asked him how he was doing and all, and I asked him if he was still helping his brother-in-law. And he said, no, I ain't helping him no more. And I thought for a minute, what's wrong? And he said, he thought I did something that I didn't do, and he cussed me. And when he realized that I hadn't done it, and that he was wrong, he came and told me he was sorry. He said, but I ain't had nothing to do with him since. Now, a lot of times, now we can get easy on this side and say, well, why ain't you done something about it, you know? But it's always easier when it's somebody else than it is when it's us. And now what will we do when the rubber meets the road and it's out and it's us that is in that place? And I said something to him. I said there's this saying that to err is human, but to forgive is divine. Let me say that again. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. See, in the incarnation, there was a marrying together of the divine and of the flesh or the natural. Because everybody that was born after Adam, because God spoke these words to Adam and Eve both, when they were in the midst of the garden, and the trees and all were there, and he says, you can partake of any tree that you want to in this whole garden. He said, but there's one. There's one. If you partake of it, he says, you will surely die. Well, we all know the story. They partook of the fruit from that tree, and they lived many, many years after that. Scriptures record that. So he couldn't be just talking about spiritual death. Because a lot of times when we think, and a lot of times these religious thoughts still take and kind of follow us, that if I do something wrong, then God's going to strike me dead. God is a merciful God. He is a merciful God in the beginning. There was judgment that did come. And the very moment that they partook of that fruit from that tree, judgment did come. But it didn't come the way that they thought that it was coming. See, they had no idea because they had never experienced anything like that. You know, it's kind of amazing that the enemy came to Eve and says, if you partake of this tree, she says, if we partake of this tree, he said, well, surely, he said, you're not going to die. You're going to become like him.
And he don't want you to become like him. And I thought to myself, in the book of Genesis, it describes, he says, they were made in his likeness and his image. Now, if you're made in the image and likeness of God, the likeness and image of God, how can you be any more like him? You ever think about things like that? We're made in his likeness and his image. They were already in his likeness and his image. But something happened the very moment that they partook of the fruit from that tree. They were separated from God. Here was the picture. In the cool of the evening, God would come down and he would walk with man and he would talk with man. And he would fellowship with him. And it was such sweet fellowship. To be in the presence of God. We aspire to be in that place. He was in that place. But when God came down after they had disobeyed, man had did something totally different, out of order than what he had done before. He went and hid himself. And not only had he hid himself, but they plucked fig leaves to try to cover up their nakedness. And God calls for him, and he says, ask him where he is. And he's over here hiding. Why was he hiding from God? What was the reason for him hiding from God? And when, can you imagine God looks at him and says, what in the world are you wearing? He says, I knew I was naked and I covered myself. Man's been trying to cover himself ever since. Man's been trying to get right with God ever since. This is where religion comes in and religious thoughts come in, because, brothers and sisters, we want to be right with God. But there's only one way to be right with God. You can't put enough fig leaves on. You can't rehabilitate yourself enough. You can't become a good enough person to do it. There's only one way. And it was through the incarnation. In the incarnation, there was something that was miraculous that took place. It's miraculous how it all started. When the angel came and told Mary that she was highly favored and she was going to conceive within her womb a child, and this holy thing that was going to be inside of her was going to be the Son of God. And she says, how can this be? Knowing that I've not been with a man. How can this be? And he says, the Holy Ghost is going to come over you. And the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And the thing that's going to be placed inside of you is the child of God. The Son of God. Placed inside of you. You've been chosen for this task. Brothers and sisters, God's got tasks that we have been chosen. We're not going to carry the Messiah in the sense of giving birth to him, but you are going to carry him. And there's other people that are going to be birthed into the kingdom of God because of you carrying. Now let me ask you a question. What are you packing? We live in a day, an hour now, you know, when the concealed carrying and the unconcealed carrying is happening, and the people break these guns out. Said, I wonder what he's packing. Reminds me of the two apostles when they went to the temple. Hour of prayer. Peter and John. And they're walking by. Here's the lame man over on the side. And he holds out his palm, hoping he'll get an alms from him. And they say something to him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This, brothers and sisters, is a picture of a person using the authority that they have as a believer. Why don't things happen today? Why don't they happen like they did in Bible times? Brothers and sisters, things will happen in our day. Things have always happened since Jesus, the incarnation, has came. But a lot of times we're not using the weapon that we have been given, because just as I shared in Sunday school, there's two parts in this. There's a believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. There's a believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. There's a believing with the heart and there's a saying with the mouth. And there's a stance that the heart believes and there's a stance that the mouth has to speak. And he's raising us up because he wants us to be carriers. What are we packing? Nobody knew what Mary was packing. They thought he was just another illegitimate child in Nazareth. But he wasn't an illegitimate child in Nazareth. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, placed inside of her by God himself. Chosen. Prophesied 750 years before. See, a lot of times when it comes to Jesus, we think that he just started when he was laying in that manger. But I've got news for us. My Bible tells me different. Can I share with you what my Bible says?
Yes.
Go back to our text. John 1:1. Don't believe me, but do believe the word of God. Unless I'm saying what the word of God says. But if I'm saying what the word of God says, then it would be his view. It could be to your benefit to believe what I'm saying. Amen?
Amen.
The words of John. But let's look at these here words just a little teeny bit different. My Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And people wrote as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. So, if people wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, then it is the Holy Spirit who's really doing the writing. He's just using them to be the pen. True?
That's right.
So he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I just heard a statement a few weeks ago, and I think it was one of the most beautiful statements that I've heard in quite a while. And the man said, any time that you bring light in a dark place, you're preaching the word. Any time that you bring light in a dark place, you're preaching the word. What are you packing? Mary was packing Jesus. What are we packing? In the beginning was the word. The word has always been. The person of the word has always been. Now we're here talking this morning about the subject of the incarnation. And what happens in the incarnation, divinity joins with humanity. And when divinity joined with humanity, Jesus came forth. If you look at Jesus, you will see the will of the Father. In fact, if you look all through Old Testament, you never have the thought having portrayed God as Father. He's always portrayed as God, the Almighty. But when Jesus starts talking about him, he doesn't refer to him as God. He refers to him as Father. The Father he sent me. He does the works. The Father. And he's trying to portray and let us know that there is the Father God. That God is like a father. He's got heart and he cares. There's compassion that just flows from him. But in the incarnation, the divine joins with the human. And one of the reasons for that was so that there could be an identification. See, there was something else that took place in the garden. Right after God's man Adam and Eve had done the unthinkable, God looks at the devil and he says, there's one coming. You'll bruise his heel, but he'll crush your head. He said, there's one coming. Can you imagine what Satan felt like that day? My God, I messed up. Look how big I messed up. He was already messed up. And he's trying to mess other people up, following after him. Convincing them that this is a better way. He always tries to use that thing. This way is better. No, God's way is better. God's way is the best. So, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now there's a marrying together in the incarnation of human and divine. Human and divine. We're human. God is divine. In the marrying together of the human and divine, Jesus came on the scene. It's amazing that this baby that was carried by Mary, laid in this manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, was the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. The incarnation, where man was separated from God and couldn't get to God. At the very best that we could do was become more religious. Brothers and sisters, I had had about as much of religion as I could stand. But I'm going to tell you what, when I got born again, you can't give me enough Jesus. Mm-hmm. And there is a vast difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Going to a dead church, sitting with dead people, trying to serve a God that I don't know nothing about, trying to go through the motions. But I'm going to tell you one thing, there was something that changed. Amen. That day when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Yes. Make me a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all of that old stuff was passed away. And all things become new. Yes. He made me a new creature. Yes. Hallelujah! Yes. He made me a new creature. The benefit of the incarnation. Because in the incarnation, there were two components that come together and joined. The divine came and made contact or union with the humanity so that he could identify with me. And Jesus said today, he said, David, I know what you're going through. I know what you're dealing with. But I want you to know something else. I got the power to change this thing.
Amen.
I got the power of influence to inject into this. You just don't have to face this thing from a natural standpoint. And I find that Christian people are still trying to beat the devil on a natural plane. We're so ignorant. I didn't say you were stupid. I didn't say we were stupid. But when all that we do is bring out our little pop gun to try to shoot the devil, instead of taking the authority of the Word of God and rising up in our place and taking our place of authority, that's about exactly what we're doing. We're trying to shoot the devil and go, poof. He said, poof, what was that? Mike Warnke, I was listening to him the day I got saved, and he said it. He was on this college campus. He was a devil worshiper and a big in drugs and all of that stuff. And he said that them campus crusaders for Christ were witnessing. And he said, he was in an elevator, and one of them stands in front of him and starts to tell him about Jesus. And when he opens his mouth to tell him about Jesus, he said he pulls a gun out and he shoves it right in his belly. And he said, you say another word to me about Jesus and I'll blow a hole in you. That campus crusader for Christ, he said, glory to God. Oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? Brothers and sisters, so many times we're so flesh oriented instead of God oriented or God minded. We try to answer everything from the flesh instead of taking and incorporating in the incarnation. There was divinity that was mixed with humanity. Jesus said, I come to give you life. He told us what the devil's, his agenda was, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He said, but I didn't come to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life. And not that you just have life, but that you would have it more abundantly. Does it pay to know something about the incarnation? It's, brothers and sisters, it's not just knowing something about Jesus, it's knowing something about yourself. Because this same incarnate one came to make sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Jesus was their example of how to walk on this earth walk and walk through this earth walk and not just have to deal with things from a human standpoint. But there's a God side that we can take a hold of. There's a God side that we can believe. There's a God side that we can embrace and we can rise above. Amen? Said in the book of Revelation. And they overcame him. And they overcame him. What's life doing with you? Is it running you over? God is saying, believe me in this Christmas season. My son Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Yes, there's horrible things that's happened to every person that's in this place. But there's a God who is bigger than what's happened to us to every one of us that's in this place. But we can't keep our eyes just on the natural because in the incarnation, there's two parts. It's not just the natural. And if we stay just in the natural, all we'll ever do is peck like the chickens. But if we will get a hold of divine, we can soar like the eagles. Said a preacher was preaching one day And he was trying to inspire other people to get on board with his vision. He said, I believe that this church can walk. Then he said, I believe that this church can run. He said, I believe that this church can soar like an eagle. And then he said, but it takes money. And the people in the church said, let's walk, preacher. Let's walk. Brothers and sisters, it takes way more than money to make a church soar. Amen. It takes the divine to make it soar. Amen. It takes more for you to soar in your life than just the natural. It takes the divine. Amen. But Jesus emptied himself and came to this earth. The divine emptied themselves. Or himself, and came to earth as a man. I got scripture to back it up. Mm-hmm. He walked out this earth walk as a man. In fact, 30 years of preparation, but at 30 years of age, you saw something happen. He went down to the Jordan River. John was baptizing, and he walks right on down and right on into the water, and he says, John, baptize me. And John says, the Holy Ghost has been on John since he was before he was born. He recognized him. He said, you the one. You the one. The incarnation. You're the one the divine has married with the flesh. You're the one. And he says, I ain't worthy to baptize you. He says, baptize me, John. Baptize me. And he baptizes him. And when he comes up, the Spirit of God descends on him like a dove. Not only descends on him, but abides on him. And then you see the life of God start to demonstrate through the life of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God wants his life demonstrated through us, the church. Mm-hmm. He's got to have people that will rise up and see yourself as something that's happened. Because a lot of times when we think of just incarnation, we just think of Jesus. And Jesus is the only one. But let me ask you this. If you were separated from God, walking in spiritual death, before you came to know Jesus, and he came into your life and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus, he forgave everything and all that was against us, wipes the slate clean, sins through the person of the Holy Spirit, Jesus and the Father, because he said, the ones that open up their heart, I'll come in and sup with. I'll be with. So the ones that open up their heart to God, and he makes them a new creature in Christ Jesus. And all of those old things passed away. Their whole nature has changed. They're no longer separated from God, but they're plugged into God. Is this a picture of incarnation? Think about it a minute. Is this a picture of incarnation? Have you got more on the inside of you than you think that you do? Have you got more on the inside of you than you realize that you have? Jesus stood up after this experience that he had had in the Jordan River. And he had gone into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he came back to his hometown, he went into synagogue, he went to church. And he stood up opens up the book of Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach." Anytime that you shine light in a dark place, you're preaching. You say, "I'm not called to preach." And I say to you, you're selling yourself short. You are called to preach. What are you packing? What are you carrying? See, a lot of times we're carrying Jesus, but we got him so under wraps because we don't want nobody else to know that I'm one of them born again ones. Because them born again ones has got the life of God on the inside of them. I want to blend in with everybody else. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you are one of them born again ones, you can never blend in with all of the rest of them. You're called out. We're called out. And we're supposed to do something when we're called out. We're supposed to shine. Yes. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let me see a little shine.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The divine on the inside changes the nature. Changes something.
Amen.
You ain't just a made over. You're a new creature.
Yes.
Amen.
You ain't been just refurbished.
Praise the Lord.
You've been transformed.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
The divine, the incarnation, the power of the divine. Don't never sell him short.
Thank you, Lord.
And don't never sell him short for who he is in you. Because if we try to do something and just stay in the flesh, playing it safe, you know what? We won't never do nothing but peck like the chickens. But thank God, all through the Old Testament, he said, "Thou shalt man up with wings as eagles. You'll rise above. Things that drive others to the ground, you'll get on it and you'll soar above. You will not soar above it in your flesh. You will soar above it with the Spirit of God that lives within you. Because you, not only is Jesus an incarnated being, but his incarnation, the life that's in him, is alive in you."
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
But a lot of times we sell ourselves short. Where our answer to our problems is the same answer that the world's got to their problems. Yes, we live in the natural. But we're not only human. And we're not only natural. There is a God side.
Amen.
And when his word tells us another way, we ought to be after that way. We ought to be embracing it and going after it. That's what the incarnation, Jesus came to change and have an influence and an impact on the flesh.
Amen.
And to rise above it. He said, "I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly."
Yes.
Now, I caught a phrase in this song. A lot of times, you know, people, they'll believe a song way faster than they'll believe the Bible. I don't know why this is, but, you know, you can listen to a song on the radio, and if it's a catchy tune, then you'll start changing your theology just to fit the words that's in that song. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of catchy tunes that are embalmed with unbelief and doubt. I'm not saying them all. But a lot of times we'll do this. And we'll do it, not even know that we're doing it. "Oh, come all ye faithful. Yea, Lord, we greet thee.
Thank you, Lord.
Born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given."
Yes, thank you, Lord.
This writer had some things that was together. Then he says, "Word of the Father, now in flesh appeared."
Thank you.
"Word of the Father, now in flesh appeared. In the beginning was the Word."
Yes.
Yes, amen.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Where was He at? Now in flesh appeared.
Thank you, Lord.
Incarnation is what He's talking about. God came coming down and tabernacling with man.
Thank you.
I say this sometimes. I want you to get this picture. When you look at me, all you see is a man. You don't really see what's on the inside. But it's not so important for what you see in me. Question is, what do you see in you? What do you see in you? And I would tell Sandy, I said, I am a mobile tabernacle of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He wants us to see things like that about ourselves. I am a mobile tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. You think this is just David's body. You think that's just David. But no, there's a whole lot more to the picture than just what you see on the outside. I am a mobile tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. You are a mobile tabernacle of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
See, when there's no revelation of the Word of God, of who we are in Christ, and who Christ is in us, we just see ourselves as having to, whatever comes our way, we just got to take it and deal with it. Well, you do have to take it and deal with it, but the way that you take it and deal with it is either from the flesh or from the divine. Why? Because there's an incarnated being that's living on the inside of you. And you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the flesh doesn't have to dictate to you how everything is going to be. And this world system don't have to dictate to you how everything is going to be. And when God says, by my stripes you're healed. Well, bless God. I sure hope He'll do that for me one day. And the truth of the matter is, He's already done it for us.
Amen.
And what we're in a stance many times in this in our prayer. Because sometimes we put more faith in prayer than we put in the Word of God. Because when the Word of God says something, we need to believe what He says. I'm not saying don't pray because He prayed. But I noticed something else about Jesus. And I think I shared this Wednesday night. Jesus, when He was with His disciples, He would get up and He would leave from where His disciples was because He knew that there was a communion that had to take place between He and His Father. And there's something, and I called it like this, private time. See, Jesus had a private ministry and Jesus had a public ministry. In His private ministry, He ministered to the Father. In His public ministry, He ministered to people. If there is no private ministry, there is going to be no public ministry. It's just the way that it is. Even though we have the incarnate one on the inside of us, if there's no fellowship with the incarnate one on the inside of us, there ain't going to be nothing to bring to the table. There ain't going to be no power. We're going to shoot at the devil with our little pop gun instead of breaking out like Jesus said. And you'll speak to devils in my name. And you'll command them to go out, to come out. I've seen pictures like this, or heard it illustrated like this. I'm going to see it in person. They saw the demon on somebody and they said, in the name of Jesus. And they said, come out. He said, I sure don't want to. But I will If you make me. He said, I said, come out. See, a lot of times in situations, we leave it up as an option of what we're going to believe. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to believing the Word of God, them option days need to be over. And our option is, I'm 100% behind what God said. And if God said it, bless God, we're going to do this. Amen? And that demon said, I'll come out if you make me, but I sure don't want to. See, the devil don't want to turn loose of strongholds that he's got in people's lives. But through the power of the incarnate one, and Jesus said, in my name, we're carriers of this. We're carriers of the incarnate one. In my name, you will cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. My God, have I got to do that? No, you ain't got to do that. You get to do that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
You ain't got to do nothing. But you get to do that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I've got to take authority over the devil. Oh. So many times we like the devil come. He came into church. Walking in the back doors. When everybody saw him, they run out the back door. He comes up there to this one man sitting on the front row. And he says, you know who I am? He said, yeah, I know who you are. He said, you ain't scared of me? He said, no, I ain't scared of you. He said, why ain't you scared of me? He said, I've been married to your sister for 30 years. We don't need to go around acting like the devil and think that we're going to operate in power. Because all then we're doing is pulling out our little pop gun and think we're going to do something. He ain't worried about our little prayers. He ain't worried about nothing else. But when you take a person who knows the Word of God and knows their authority as a believer and stands up in their place, just as Jesus would speak and he starts shaking in his shoes, he will shake in his shoes when you speak also. There's a power. There's a power. There's a power that we carry because of the incarnate one on the inside. How is he there? He's in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Catch those words, grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I'm a believer. On this note, because I was asking the Holy Spirit to reveal something to me from His Word, because I wanted to, I needed a picture of it. I needed to understand it. It's hard to communicate something that you don't know how to communicate. Is that true?
That's right.
and it's a must that I learn to communicate. So it was on a Wednesday night, and I was standing right about here. And this was pertaining to this here scripture with grace through faith. That we're saved by grace through faith. That picture of divinity and humanity working together. And I said, Lord, how does that work? Grace through faith. And it happened so fast. It was like something went out from me. And when it went out, there was something that just as quickly came right back through it. Faith reaches out, but grace reaches in. Mm-hmm. There's always an answer in God. Faith reaches out. Grace. I mean, and it happened so fast, Stacy, I like to miss it. I mean, you said ask the Lord to reveal something to you. And you think it'd take him months to get this revelation. I've had revelations that come so quick. Say, how can God be so fast? He's divinity. He's divine. Brothers and sisters, during this Christmas season, don't let the flesh get all of your attention. Don't let what's going on around you get all of the attention. There's a divine one. And he's got answers. He's got solutions. He's got remedies. He's got his word. There's two words for the Bible. For the word. One is logos and one is rhema. Logos is the written word. Thank God for the written word. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When God gives you a rhema word and he speaks a word to your heart, it's a game changer. And that ties right in with this thought. One word from God changed the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Just one word. Just one word. When situations in life come talking, don't you be in agreement with them. You be in agreement with what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. And as we are in agreement with what the Word of God says, then, and we do like you would in fixing a cake. It takes all of the different ingredients in it to put it all together, to put it in the oven, and then that cake will rise and you'll have something to eat. But if we don't take and mix faith with what God says in his word, then all we got is the natural. And all we're fighting with is the natural. And then we're always scratching our head and wondering, where's God at? Why have you left me in this mess? Why ain't you doing this here? There was a 16-year-old boy. The doctor said that he had to die. There was nobody in his situation, circumstances, that could live. Already programmed himself that way that he had to die because that's what medical science said. The best doctors in the country said that this was what had to happen. Nobody has lived in your condition older than 16. And there was something that spoke to him on the inside and said, you don't have to die. And then he said to him, he said, it's all in the book. I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of words in this book. Amen? Amen. But it don't take but one of them to change it. But it don't take but one of them to change it.
Thank you, Lord.
It don't take but one of them to change it. Why? Because this book is divine.
Yes, amen.
And when divine marries with the flesh and we get a hold of it, we can get what Jesus would get. That when he spoke, this would happen. Well, I don't believe that. You might say. But Jesus didn't say these signs will follow them that don't believe. He said these signs will follow them that do believe. So, if you find yourself on the don't believe in camp, pack your stuff up and move over into the believing camp. And refuse to believe what everybody else believes and just believe. Determine in your heart that you're going to believe what God believes. Amen? Amen. What are we talking about? The incarnation.
Thank you, Lord.
The mixing of the divine with the flesh. Yes, we live in a natural body. But just, Brenda, as I am and I have a natural body, I am a mobile tabernacle of the Holy Ghost. And he can lead me and guide me into all truth, because Jesus said, when he comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now, where are we looking? Are we looking in the Word of God for the living Word of God? Those two words were Logos and Rhema. Rhema is a living word of God, a spoken word of God. And here, a challenge to us as the church. Will we speak in our situation what he says about my situation, or will I speak what this world system and the flesh tells me about my situation? If I speak what the flesh and the world says about it, that's what I'll have. But if I speak what God speaks about my situation, then I can have what God says about my situation.
Amen.
Something to think about over this Christmas holiday. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know something. Christmas is going to be here tomorrow. And after Christmas, it's time to go. It's time to do. There's a new year. There's a new year that's right on the steps. And he's got some mighty things that he wants done in our lives, in your lives, through our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Stand with me. Jesus.
Jesus.
Thou Son of David. You're so merciful. Bartimaeus said, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want? What do you want that I would do for you? And I asked you this morning, what do you want that Jesus would do for you? What you want from him, ask him. And believe that you receive when you ask him. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an honor to preach your word.
Thank you.
It's an honor to preach your word. Holy Spirit, it's an honor to cooperate with you. I glorify your name. There is none like you. I give place to you. Holy Spirit, do in this place, do in us your people, only what you can do. Hallelujah. Let's praise him a few minutes. Praise. Lift your voice and let's praise. Praise. Praise.